or whatever, before you married them, then I would ask you and beg you in the name of Allah to be patient. If you knew this when you married them, that they had this problem. If they started doing it out of the clear blue sky, seemingly out of the clear blue sky, then I would suggest that you have them get in contact with those brothers and sisters who are sound, or at least close to being sound in their understanding of Islam, and may or may not have experiences in this, so they can sit down and talk to them. In all cases, you should be patient, because divorce is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has allowed for us, but we always want to keep success in our marriages. And one of the biggest tricks of shaitan, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, is that it's to separate a man from his wife. So I would say be patient. As the hadith of our beloved Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when the man came to the Messenger of Allah and said, my wife never refuses the hand of a man. Meaning she never refuses to shake hands or touch a man. The Prophet said, divorce her. He said, but I love her. He said, then keep her.
This next question deals with is recovery and Al-Kafar for sisters as well as brothers, and where are they located? Al-Kafar Incorporated is for brothers exclusively. However, on 22nd Street in Masjid al-Hasa, there is a group called An-Nisa that meets at 3 o'clock on Saturday, if I'm not mistaken. And that is a support group for sisters. So that's at 3 o'clock on Saturday. The next question is, after a Muslim has stood in a circle and prayed with an NA group, is there a need for him to take the Shahada over again?
At the end of the meeting, they stand in a circle and they say the Lord's Prayer.
The brothers informed me that after the meeting, this is every meeting?
Yes.
Every meeting this happens?
This
is the Sunnah. The Sunnah. It's the Sunnah of NA and NAA and Gamblers Anonymous also, subhanAllah. All the AAs, huh? And KA, Kufr Anonymous. It's the Sunnah of these groups that they stand in a circle. Wallahi, this thing is like a tariqah, I swear, this thing is just like a tariqah. They stand in a circle and say the Lord's Prayer. Do they hold hands with this?
It depends,
huh?
The AAs hold hands and the NAs.
Put their arms around each other? Men and women together, right? He said that they say the Lord's Prayer afterwards, and the person asked the question, should the person take Shahada after doing this? In other words, I think what they're asking, and Allah knows best, has the person nullified their Islam? Have they left Islam by saying the Lord's Prayer? Well, I'm 41 years old now, and I don't remember the Lord's Prayer. You have to excuse me. I don't know what the Lord's Prayer entails. If anybody here has memorized it, let me know. But definitely, if there's any kufr or shirk in this particular dua, then the person should repent. But they shouldn't even be going towards this thing. I mean, this is one of the traps of shaitan. I mean, I don't know if the NA authority will allow you not to stand in the circle. Can you not stand in the circle? You don't have to, then don't stand in the circle.
There's no compulsion.
There's no compulsion in NA. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah.
I note on that last question that the sister asked about in terms of, I was just informed by the emir that Kafar does not want to be stigmatized as being ostensibly only for brothers, and that if a sister is interested in starting a women's chapter of Al-Kafar, all she needs to do is to see one of the brothers on that side or see the emir, and arrangements will be made to begin a sister's chapter of Al-Kafar. When a Muslim falls back to drugs and they believe that they really need these NA meetings, should we, that are not going to these meetings, encourage and admonish them not to go to these meetings? Is this part of our duty to our Muslim brother and sister.
I want to make something kind of clear, if I may. The idea of participating, a Muslim participation in NA or AA or GA or any of these other groups of anonymity for recovery, they have some good in them. I didn't want to stand here in front of you today and say they don't have good in them. They do have some good in them. But as we mentioned in the lecture, unfortunately, there are some more abominable concepts that will lead the person astray. If the individual finds themselves in a situation where they think that something like Jamaatul Kafara is not enough, and they have to go to NA or AA or GA for some other type of support, then I think they need to, number one, sit down with the people who are involved in Jamaatul Kafara or similar groups to explain to them that this particular organization, Jamaatul Kafara that is, does service all the needs. Because some of us may think that Jamaatul Kafara and things that are similar to it don't service all the needs. Because once again, they don't have the beds, they don't have the elaborate buildings, etc. The bus outings, etc. So if a person thinks, if they're absolutely sure that Jamaatul Kafara or the organizations that are similar to it don't have everything that would service their needs, and number two, that they can feel safe after understanding the pure concepts of Tawheed, and they can stay away from shirk and kufr in NA, then yes, you can use NA. You don't have to encourage that person to leave that. If you can prove absolutely without a shadow of doubt that you won't be pricked by the thorns on the road of NA, then go ahead with it. Go ahead with it. I don't know. I mean, Allah knows best from the few things that I mentioned today. I can't see you getting around that kufr and shirk. So in my conclusion to the statement, to the question, yes, it would be a duty upon all of us to invite those Muslims who are participants in this to come out of this and come to Jamaatul Kafara or things similar to it. The brother was telling me that they used to go to the parties, to the NA parties, and pull the Muslims out for Salatul Fajr. They'd be partying up till Fajr. They used to pull them out to take them to the masjid to pray. See, this is dangerous. This is a dangerous, dangerous thing. So yes, I would say that yes, you should invite. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Enjoin and invite each other to doing righteousness and piety, and do not invite each other to sin and iniquity. And Allah knows best.
Because we know that addiction impacts on the family, if you could address how recovery in Al-Islam can be expanded to affect children and other family members, it would be greatly appreciated. Well, firstly, let me say that we do understand that addiction impacts the entire family, wives, children, and the entire concept of kafar is one that, inshallah, will be expanded to the family, but it's in need of support. You know, it's in need of support of the community to get involved, you know, with help, physical help, financial help, and support these things that we know we need in our community, so that we can begin to expand on the concept of kafar and begin to mend or begin to heal. As it said, the Quran is a shifa, a healing for the diseases of the heart. So we know that as kafar expands and as people begin to let other people know that this is going on, inshallah, soon we will have the apparatus to solve these kind of problems involving the entire family. I am a woman in recovery who has called to the masjid and tried to get help and was told that there was no help for sisters where there's some available. I think that that question was asked previously, and inshallah, whoever's interested.
Can I just make one statement?
Sure.
This is really a serious issue right here. This issue of a sister or a brother or anyone calling the message and trying to get help. And let's just give the benefit of doubt. I mean, you know, in Islam, we're supposed to have ism of zan. You're supposed to put, as we used to say, the best construction on things. Let's just assume that no one was there to help. No one answered the phone. All right, let's assume that. But then, it's a possibility that someone just didn't help. I can't imagine a Muslim crying out for assistance and another Muslim not helping. I just can't imagine that. I really can't imagine that. And I know it happens, but I can't imagine that. It shouldn't happen. I think, based on the little bit of knowledge that I have of Quran and Sunnah, which is very little, believe it or not, compared to popular belief, it's very little. But based on the little knowledge that I have of Quran and Sunnah, that if we don't assist our brothers and sisters when they cry out for help, we just may be partially responsible for their destruction. Maybe. Allah knows best. I don't know. We may be partially responsible for their destruction. Even though they're adults. Even though an adult is an adult, one of the actions of an adult is they have the ability to make decisions and they have to live by those decisions. But when a person is crying out to someone for help, their brother or sister in Islam, and they don't offer it for whatever reason, and sometimes we don't offer help because we think we're above the person who's using. We think we're above that person. But at the same time, you're paying a mortgage on a house with river. You're looking at the brother who's black taking a blast off a pipe as a lowly creature, and you're paying a mortgage note, which is another haram. Which is the only haram Allah and His Messenger mentions in the Quran that Allah says He and His Messenger make war. The only sin that I've ever seen in Quran and Sunnah where the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that if the lowest branch of it, or one of the lower branches of it, has 70 some odd branches, and the lowest of it is like having sex with your own mother. But you'll look at a person who's shooting narcotics in a lowly state, but you paying a mortgage note. So we should really have some type of concern and sensitivity for our brothers and sisters in Islam. As Imam Ghazali said, any Muslim who doesn't have the feelings of sensitivity for their brother or sister Muslim, if you don't even have the sensitivity towards their feelings, then that person who doesn't have that sensitivity, you should wash and shroud their body in a Fotek beard because they're dead.
This question is in two parts. What is the connection or learning experience associated with NA and Islam? And what do you mean by NA programs? Well, what we mean by NA programs, NA is short or abbreviation for Narcotics Anonymous. I don't know whether that was explicit. But for those that don't know, NA is Narcotics Anonymous. There's also AA, Alcoholics Anonymous, GA, Gamblers Anonymous, SA, Sex and Love Anonymous. You know, they're all based on a 12-step, philosophy that was founded by a man by the name of Dr. Bob and Mr. Bill and a few other people. That's actually its foundation. What is the connection? What is the connection or learning experience associated with NA and Islam?
I don't understand.
If the person that wrote this particular question could clarify it. Okay. Yes. What is wrong?
Stand up, we can't hear you up here. Well, stand up.
That would be similar to me, that would be similar to someone saying that the nation of Islam was necessary to come to the Sunnah. Allah's Sunnah and the message of Allah's Sunnah is not to start out with something corrupt to bring you to something that was pure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't work like that. Yes, there's some good things in it, but Shaitan uses the good to bring people to the hellfire. We mentioned this. Shaitan taught Abu Huraira, gave him Ayatul Kursi, if we know this hadith. And we can go on with many other examples. So just because something has some good in it, that doesn't mean that the total of it is good. And it doesn't mean that you should attribute your success to that. All good is from Allah. They just taken, stolen, or borrowed something that is the principle of what Allah has already given us in the Quran and Sunnah. So why bother with it when you can go to something that's purely Quran and Sunnah? This is a trick from Shaitan. The way I see it, personally, this is a trick from Shaitan. Allah knows best. If a person, and I would safely say, that most Muslims, not American Muslims, most Muslims around the world don't have a clear cut understanding of Tawheed. Most Muslims don't. How can you subject yourself? I don't even encourage Muslims to go to college before getting a good understanding of Aqidah. Because wallahi, you go to these colleges, these philosophers, and these people that have these concepts, they will corrupt you. You come out with a PhD, but you'll end up being an Orientalist in your thinking. If we don't understand, if we don't sit down and learn the correct concept of Tawheed, Rububiyyah, Uluhiyyah, Asma wa Sifat, then all of these groups are nothing but traps for us. We use it every day in the street. These got traps off. That's just what they'll do. Yes, they have some good in them. All these things have some good in them. But Shaitan, this is one of his tricks, to use the good to bring you to the hellfire. He'll whisper to you, to tell you to do a good act, which is smaller of nature, and it may be 70 good acts, so that you won't do that one major act over here of act of good. He'll say, do these 70 over here, which won't get to, all 70 combined won't give you a greater reward than that one major one over here. That's the way he works, you see? He makes things fair seeming. Now, what could it be? When Allah mentions in the Quran about the Muslim men not marrying mushrik women, and the Muslim women not marrying mushrik men until they believe, what does Allah say in the middle of the verse going towards the end? Why does he say, why it is better that you believe, وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِنْ مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ, that the female slave is better for you than a mushrik thinking pagan woman, even though she may be fine as hell. That's basically what the verse says. That's basically what the verse says. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ بِإِذْنِهِ. Why? Because they, that woman, calls you to the fire. And Allah calls you to the Jannah and His forgiveness by His permission. It may have some good in it, it may look good, but she's inviting you to the hellfire. And that's what these programs are doing. And Allah knows better.
It's really important. What does a Muslim do if he or she lives in a shelter and is forced to attend NA meetings?
Bismillah wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. If this sister is here right now, I would hope that she would make herself anonymous to the public who are sitting here and go to the people right now who are in charge of this group. And the brothers, I would implore the brothers, and I'm ready with the little bit of ducats that I have in my hand to help the sister right now. We shouldn't even leave here until this sister is helped right now.
Okay. Are we going to help this sister some kind of way?
There's no question in my mind.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe,
inshallah.
You know, the sister stand up, maybe she may be embarrassed. But afterwards, inshallah, I think we should do something.
right now. As much as we can do. As much as we can do.
Go over on that side and talk to the brothers at the desk there.
Okay, Zalud answered, pretty much answered his question, I think. He said, the question is, are there any other unknown organizations under this title subject name besides NA that we should be aware of, to name a few? I would just say that, like I said, there's GA and there's AA, and there are psychiatric centers. There are even rehabs that if someone goes into a rehab and you're Muslim, they'll tell you to put your religion on a shelf. Or they'll tell you you don't need to be making salat for maybe the first year. Or to put the Quran up and get into yourself first. So, you know, like to just name different organizations, I think that you need to use the criteria of the Quran and the Sunnah to distinguish, you know, what are the kind of organizations that we should be associated with. And I think that the theme of this recovery in Islam pretty much answers this question, that if it's not according to the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then you really don't need it if you claim to be Muslim. This is a comment from a sister who has said that she wishes to thank Al-Kafar Incorporated for the sadaqah for her family, and she wished to address the community that this group of brothers care for themselves as well as their ummah, and she says your sister in Islam. Jazakallah khair. The next group of questions is dealing with bid'ah and general questions of Islam. The first one, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. When a brother taps his chest and puts up one finger, is this the sunnah?
Excuse me, I didn't hear. Does everyone, we actually came together, brothers and sisters, to talk about NA and AA. It's up, you know, I don't know if it's appropriate. What?
I think
y'all guys just want me to talk, man. You always think everything is appropriate, man. You just want me to talk. What is it again? These some deep guys, man. When a brother puts his... We finished with the NA and AA and
no
we finished
more?
With these? No more questions, you sure? Look, this is really pressing. You know, and I hope that I didn't put the brothers of Kafara on the spot with this particular sister, but, you know, I don't see how we can really consider ourselves, you know, having completion in our iman. You know, لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يحب لأخيه ما يحب لنفسه. The Prophet said this. He said, "You're not a brother, you're not a believer until you love for your brother what you love for yourself." How can we not be sensitive to the needs of, you know, sisters and brothers who are living in shelters? I mean, where I come from, you know, I'm coming from Newark, New Jersey. I also lived in Brooklyn, and I've seen the inside of some of these shelters. People get raped. I'm talking about men and women. Get raped. You know, you get your property stolen. People get killed. You know, it's filthy, it's dirty. You know, and then the Christian comes and they come with their Bible. You see? And when the Muslim doesn't lean towards the brother or sister and try to help them, then Shaitan will use this. And Sister Tega Khimal, next thing you know, she in the church. You know, and I don't know. I'm not no scholar. You know, as the fly said, a noted scholar. I don't know, somebody must have been smoking something when they put that on there. Dawood Adib, a noted scholar. Don't tell me to put it on there. But I know one thing. If you don't be concerned about your brother and sister in Islam, I apologize. I shouldn't have said somebody was smoking something. I shouldn't have said that. That was in bad taste. But somebody's got to be, you know, to say I'm a scholar. I mean, you know, like really, brothers, come on, man. Get a life, man. You know. When a brother puts his hands, like this? Yeah, this is not from the Sunnah. You know, it's as far as I know, it comes from the prison. The first time I saw it, I didn't see brothers on the street doing it. I know the brothers do it in the joint, you know. They walk by you in the yard. It's like, you know, it's supposed to mean Assalamu Alaikum. But there's hadiths against this stuff. The Prophet told us don't do this because the Jews, they wave and the Christians use the finger or vice versa. This is not from the Sunnah.
The brother suggested that there's going to be a collection going around.
Can I mention it? There's going to be a collection for the sister, and wallahi, once again, brothers and sisters, I don't want to put the brothers on the spot who are part of Kafara, and I really didn't want the sister to stand up, you know, but alhamdulillah, she has some courage, you know, and she's in that much need. But there's going to be a collection right now, so we can help our sister, the one that Allah made our sister in Islam, inshallah.
What should a sister who's going out seeking work, looking for a job, should she cover or uncover her head?
You hear that?
Hmm?
Sister going out for work, should she cover or should she uncover?
A woman doing what?
A woman going out looking for a job.
A woman going out looking for a job, should she cover or uncover her head? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever has taqwa in Allah, He will make for them an exit and provide for them from a place they have no expectation. And whoever puts their trust in Allah, Allah is sufficient for them. The children of Israel are standing in front of the Red Sea. I've seen the Red Sea, brothers and sisters. I made wudu in the Red Sea. It's huge. It's huge. And the back of him was Pharaoh's army, one of the most tyrannical armies ever known to man. And Allah says, وَإِذْ فَرَقْنَا بِكُمُ الْبَحْرَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاكُمْ وَأَغْرَقْنَا آلِ فِرْعَوْنَ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. And we parted the sea for you, and we drowned Pharaoh's army, and you witnessed it. If a person has taqwa in Allah, Allah will make for them an exit. He'll give them a way out. You don't have to take off your khimar to get a job. And the Prophet ﷺ said in the authentic hadith, if you try to please the creatures at the displeasure of Allah, Allah will cause the creatures and Allah will himself be displeased with you. But if you try to please Allah at the displeasure of the people, the creatures, Allah will be pleased with you and he'll cause the people to be pleased with you. Don't take off your khimar, sisters. And once again, we may just be held responsible partially for a sister having to do that when she actually needs to get a job to feed her family. And these brothers need to take care of their children.
SubhanAllah, I just want to make an announcement that a brother who wants to remain anonymous with the sadaqah has said that he will match whatever sum of money we come up with for the sister. Question. Is there such a thing as good innovation or bad innovation when the hadith says that all innovation could lead to strain, thus lead you on to the hellfire?
Okay, alhamdulillah, there's a hadith in the collection of Abu Dawood, authentic hadith in Kitab al-Ilm, in the Book of Knowledge, that says Allah illuminates an individual with his light, and that person comes with an information to a scholar, and I'm not a scholar, comes to a scholar, a faqih, and that person that comes to them seeking some type of information, it may be that person is afqa minhu, that he's more knowledgeable than the scholar himself. In other words, the scholar can be brought some information that will aid him into giving the right answer. The person who asked this question answered it. You already answered it. Of course there's no such thing as a good bid'ah. And if we had some time, we could explain it. But when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kullu bid'ah dalala, every innovation is astray. He didn't say, ba'd bid'ah dalala, some innovation is astray. All innovations are astray. All astray is in the hellfire. There's no such thing as a good bid'ah. They don't exist. In religion.
Should a Muslim or Muslimah accept the invitation to classes or Salatul Jummah at the Habashi, located here in Philadelphia at 45th and Walnut, because I was told by one of them that Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, was kafir.
First of all, I don't know how many of us know about these individuals. May Allah guide them and us, ameen. And I don't know how many people know about Ibn Taymiyyah, Shaykh al-Islam, rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy on him. But I would safely say that to say that Ibn Taymiyyah is a kafir is neither here nor there, because we don't base our deen on Ibn Taymiyyah. Though he is one of the greatest personalities in Islam, but we don't base
our deen on Ibn Taymiyyah. We base our deen on Quran and Sunnah. So the answer is no. You should find out what these people are saying, and you should evaluate it based on Quran and Sunnah. And the answer is no. If those of us who don't know about the Habashi people, or commonly called as Ahbash, then I would suggest that they purchase a book, a little thin book that has been translated into English on this particular subject, and this will tell you something about these individuals who are called the Habashi or the Ahbash. You can probably ask some of the brothers who are sitting here about this book. I have a good husband that does not teach me at all. In the years that we have been together, it has been a struggle because I have always wanted someone who fulfills my spiritual needs. I have a good husband that does not teach me at all in the years that we have been together. It has been a struggle because I have always wanted someone who fulfills my spiritual needs. I would say firstly, sister, that alhamdulillah, Allah has sent his ni'mah on you by having a good husband. Because, and if the hadith is authentic, I don't know, but there is a hadith that is attributed to the Messenger of Allah, maybe it may not be authentic, that says, be careful who you marry your daughters to, because it's like marrying them into slavery. Be careful who you marry your daughters to, because it's like marrying them into slavery. And when Hassan, radiallahu anhu, the grandson of our beloved Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, was approached by a man, he said, inna li ibnati. He said, I have a daughter. Whom do you think I should marry her to? Hassan, radiallahu anhu, didn't say, marry her to fulan, marry her to so-and-so. He didn't name anyone's name. He said, marry her to the one who has taqwa. For if he loves her, he will honor her. And if he doesn't love her, he won't be oppressive to her. Marry her to the one who has taqwa. For if he loves her, because in all marriages we don't love each other. It's not a crime. If he loves her, he won't mistreat her. He'll honor her. And if he doesn't love her, he won't oppress and treat her unjustly. So if your husband is a good husband, alhamdulillah, it's not absolutely necessary that you learn your Islam from him. It's not necessary. It's not obligatory. It's not a condition of marriage that your husband has got to be a sheikh. If he's a good man, alhamdulillah, you can thank Allah. Because you have some brothers who are corrupt as hell and they got all this knowledge. Know all this Quran, hadith, usul al-fiqh, usul al-hadith, and they corrupt. So which one do you want? Go to the masjid, read some books, you get the knowledge in there. Get all your spiritual advice and uplift it from there. Really. And Allah knows best.
Okay, I'm going to combine.
We only have 15 minutes left. So I'm going to begin to combine questions. The first question that I'm combining with another one is, what is the Qimar, and please describe it? And how can a single sister find good Muslim men?
Let me take the second one first. You know, Shaitan whispered to me just now to say something. I was just going to say, where can you find a good Muslim man? SubhanAllah, y'all know, right? I believe that you can find good Muslim men in any masjid. That's my answer. What is the khimar? The khimar, the linguistic meaning of khimar means to cover. The religious meaning of a khimar for a woman is that piece of material that drapes over her entire head, covers her ears, her earrings, and her neck in its entirety. And it drapes over her breast. That's the khimar.
Okay. Oh, we can
Okay. We're gonna be able to finish all the questions. If Dawood is up to it.
He's fine, alhamdulillah.
Okay, this is in reference to shouting Takbir, Allahu Akbar. There is a hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim which states more or less that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions were ascending a mountain and people began saying Takbir out loud. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam admonished them about it. Explain, please.
Well, first of all, I don't know I'm not familiar with the hadith. Contrary to popular belief, people think I'm a scholar. I don't know this hadith. But if you bring the hadith, the volume, the section, and the page number, we can go check it. We can read Fathul Bari, the explanation for Bukhari, and we can find it. But definitely, if it's related or not related, the saying Takbir, Allahu Akbar, this is not from the Sunnah for things like this. It's not from the Sunnah. We don't find the Sahaba or the Tabi'un or the Atba'a Tabi'een doing this. And Allah knows best. I mean, like meetings or someone comes in and he makes a very good point. Takbir, Allahu Akbar. In fact, to say takbir doesn't mean Allahu Akbar. Linguistically, it really doesn't mean that. Okay. So, you know, we can check these things. If we come together on a common agreement and we have the references, we can check these things and find out. But the safest thing to do is to stick close to what the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has left. Because the Prophet Alayhi Salatu Wasallam said, مَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا يُقَرِّبُكُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَأَمَرْتُكُمْ بِهِ وَمَا تَرَكْتُ شَيْئًا يُقَرِّبُكُمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ وَيُبَاعِدُكُمْ عَنِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا وَنَهَيْتُكُمْ عَنْهُ. He said, I have not left off anything. I have not left off anything that will bring you closer to Allah except that I have ordered you to do it. And I have not left off anything that will bring you farther, closer to the fire, and far away from Allah, except that I have prohibited it from you.
Someone can correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that the person wanted to say went in tashahud, not in sujood. But they're asking, that is it proper to say, atayyatu lillahi, keeping your finger out through the whole dua, and the second part of the second part, and how do you become a part of the Jamaat al-Kufar?
As you answer that.
How do you become a member of the Jamaat al-Kufar? There is a list of the Taaleem and the therapy groups that brothers have available, am I correct? Yes, brothers have available. See any of the brothers that look like they're part of Jamaat al-Kufar standing over there. Brother Ibrahim over there is the program director, sitting over there in the black shirt to the left. And any of the other brothers, and inquire as to the time and the location of the al-Kufar group.
I'd like to ask my brother in Islam, my very close friend, how does a person look like he belongs to Jamaat al-Kufar? You said those brothers who look like they belong.
No. I didn't mean it in that sense.
How do you identify?
And I will clarify. You know, they
don't have a prostration mark on their head that says Jamaat al-Kufar.
I mean, you know, brothers that you see collecting money or brothers that are on security, brothers that look like they're doing a job. You know, inshallah. Okay, the program director, Brother Ibrahim Jamal Adin, I just want to answer that question.
The question.
How do you become a member of Jamaat al-Kufar?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inshallah, Sunday at Masjid al-Hash on 22nd in Cambridge, we have a Talim every Sunday. On Tuesdays at 243 South 60th Street, we have a therapy group meeting. All you got to do is just come to any one of these meetings, express a desire to join the al-Kufar, and that's it. Inshallah. My phone number is on some of the flyers and everything. And anybody have any other questions in terms of the recovery process or joining Al-Kufar, inshallah ta'ala, can call me at home. Also, inshallah ta'ala, I've been asked to make a point that we're not a masjid, we're just a group of Muslims who have come together, inshallah ta'ala, to try to help other Muslims alleviate themselves from the problems of using karma and return them back to the Islamic community. we are in need of Muslim help. We need brothers to help get down, because we got a lot of things on our agenda, and inshallah ta'ala, shortly the MC will be running down what our agenda is, the different events that we have coming up, inshallah. So we're going to need a lot of help. And as more people come, we have these kind of events, and more people realize that they don't need to be involved in 12-step fellowships or any other kind of fellowship. The more people come in, the more help we're going to need, because believe me, it's more than enough people. I mean, it's more than enough work out here to be done. So we do need help. As-salamu alaykum, salam. Inshallah ta'ala. Also, one other point that is very important. Al-Kafar is not made up of brothers from one particular masjid. One thing that's unique about us is that the Majlis members and the members of our group come from brothers from every different masjid all over the city. It's not a masjid in the city that somebody who there's not a member of that's not in Al-Kafar. So, you know, we kind of straddle the lines of controversy, it seems, somehow, and we still get work done, inshallah ta'ala. Anything else? As-salamu alaykum, salam.
It's really interesting, brothers and sisters, how these questions come up all the time. And I'm wondering if when people stand in front of you in the masjids or whatever, and they answer these questions, are you really satisfied with them, or are you just seeking another opinion or what? For some of these questions, I'm sure that you have some very knowledgeable brothers here in the area that have answered these questions. But, you know, alhamdulillah, since the question is being asked of me, I'll try my best to answer it. And he said, when it's in jokes, I think they mean, is it proper to say that tahiyyat and keeping your finger out through the whole dua? From what I know, from the sunnah of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, is that as soon as he said, at-tahiyyat, he stuck his finger out. And he held it out all the way until he said, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. He didn't put it down. For those people who say that he stuck it out only when he said, la ilaha illallah, Allah says in the Quran, قُلْ هَاتُوا بُرْهَانَكُمْ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ. Bring your proof if you're truthful. We have from the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah that he stuck his thing out at the beginning, the very first letter, التَّحِيَّاتُ, and he moved it, and he held it out all the way to السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.
As-salamu alaykum. So I neglected to say that also, we have a halfway house in Norristown and a chapter of Al-Kafar in Norristown, so we have a halfway house there. We also have one in Williamsport, PA. So, and shortly, inshallah ta'ala, we'll also have one down in Baltimore. So we have other facilities aside from the one that's in Philadelphia. Thank you. As-salamu alaykum.